What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Jesus and the Arts podcast. My name is Stephen Williams, and today we have a very special guest, one of my very good friends. She was my kid twice.
Yep.
In shows, yeah?
Yep, two different
and
times.
Then you were my grandkid yep. in one show, but not the same cast.
No, different casts, but, you know.
Her name is Eve Weeks. Hello, Eve.
Hello, Stephen.
Are you glad to be here?
I am so glad to be here. I'm ecstatic.
Excellent. Even with your voice partly gone, you're still...
Yes. Precursor, my voice is leaving. So.
It's leaving. It's out the door.
It's okay.
Yeah, so how are you doing this year, this 2025 school year?
I'm doing good. It is already flying past. It's just started and it does not feel like it.
Yeah, it's already September.
Crazy.
It is crazy. Junior year, hard, easy?
It's hard. It's scary. It's a lot, but yep. God's doing some good things. So.
For sure. Honors classes, no.
AP classes, honors AP? Classes, yeah.
What AP classes?
AP Gov and AP Lang. Help me.
Dang.
Yeah.
Shoot.
I don't make the best choices.
No, you'll do fine. A lot of schoolwork.
Lot yeah. of schoolwork.
Yeah, junior yeah. year was rough. I would yeah. say out of all the...
Oh,
bruh, she
I'm
just
so
dropped
sorry.
The soundboard. No, it's fine. I would say out of all the classes or all the years of high school, junior year was definitely the
so
hardest.
So everybody
for me.
Tells me, so yeah. not the most encouraging.
Freshman year was easy. Oh, sophomore yeah. year was easy. Junior year was harder because, again, that's when AP starts and then...
I think schoolwork-wise, that's true, but mentally, I think that, like, junior year, I've been in my best mental state.
Oh, that's good.
I think that, like, freshman year was the worst, sophomore year was bad, and then this year is, like, the best I've been.
That's good.
So it's kind of the opposite.
Yeah. And senior year is, like, literally the easiest thing ever.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed, guys.
I mean, I didn't take AP classes, and I only took one honor class. To be honest, I only had two academic classes in general.
Yeah,
so.
That's what everyone tells me. So, hopefully we'll be good.
There you go. How's work?
Work is great. I'm a swim teacher.
Awesome.
I love my job. I love my kids. It can be really, like, overwhelming at times, but I'm blessed to be where I'm at. So.
Yeah. Throw kids in pools and tell them yep. how to swim.
Don't awesome. Drown, please.
Yeah. Do you have any plans this fall?
I'm going to visit my mentor at Lipscomb, and I'm going to go on some Tennessee college tours. Lee will be one of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dope. Awesome.
So, and then that's about it.
You doing a Lipscomb tour as well?
I am.
Okay.
I think I'm spending the night in her dorm, too. So,
dang.
Full college experience.
Wait, is that November or October?
October 17th, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, how would you say, overall, 2025, I know, well, we only have 3 more months left until it ends.
That is so scary to think about.
Overall, how do you think it's been? Like, challenges, good things?
It's been a good year. A lot of my, you being one of them, seniors, friends left, so that's been an adjustment. This school year, especially, my best friend left the school. Just,
fly
I'm
high.
Definitely, yeah, right? God is pushing me outside of my comfort zone, but I think it's something I needed, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Love to hear it. Yeah. A little icebreaker before we actually get started. I didn't really think of one before I pressed the record button, so I'm going to have to think of one off the top of my head. If you didn't grow up in the United States, what country would you want to grow
Europe.
Up in?
Oh, that's not a country.
That's a
oh.
continent. She is a junior, guys. She is a junior.
Alrighty. I might say Italy, just because, like, the coast of Italy is so gorgeous.
Yeah.
But politic-wise, I have no idea what's going on over there.
Politic-wise?
I have no idea what's going on over there. So, I think I have to say Italy, though.
Italy? Yeah. Why? Because the coastline and also the
just
food?
Just because the views. I'm a picky eater. I'd probably eat American food either way. But, you know.
Yeah. I'd probably say...
Or New Zealand. Oh, voice crack. But New Zealand?
Yeah.
That'd be so cool.
Do you know what really famous movie franchise was filmed there?
No.
It's one of my favorites.
Ooh. Is it an action movie?
No.
Oh, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. I would, for me, I would either say that or Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
I'm Irish, so I probably should have been my first answer.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
That's crazy.
Have you seen my leprechaun dance?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do it. Don't do it right now.
I won't.
We're not recording, so.
Yeah, I'm very Irish.
That's awesome, though.
Yep.
I would say that's a pretty good icebreaker for coming off the top of my head.
Look at you go.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys know the lineup. We're just going to start with some questions about Christianity, lead that into the arts, and then at the end, how we can weave our Christian faith into what we enjoy doing. So, first of all, how did you share your story about how you came to know Christ?
Okay. Mini testimony here. I was born in the church, dedicated as a baby in the same church that I'm in now, actually.
Okay.
So, same church my whole life. Grew up in the faith, so blessed and grateful to have parents that raised me to know the Lord. But I didn't really make my relationship with Jesus my own and, like, claim it as my faith and try to live it out until I was in 6th or 7th grade. I think it was 7th grade. At a church retreat, and my mentor, still in close contact with her, prayed for me. And I just, first time I really felt the Lord's presence. And I think it was before that. I think about half a year before that, my house had burned down. And we had just had, like, a crazy year. And it had just been, like, a lot. And I really had to lean on God for the first time in my life and just, like, fully trust Him. And that kind of just opened up my eyes to how good God really is. So, yeah.
Yeah. What year did your house get burned down?
2021, January 17th.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember one of our friends that did shows with us, he showed me a video of you just walking through your house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. Which I had no idea that happened until, like, probably this past year during Sound of Music. I'm dead serious.
You knew my house burned down.
I mean, I did, but I didn't know it was, like
that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one ever, when I say that, nobody ever knows how bad it is until they, like, see the video and they're like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Really, in a lot of ways, it was a blessing, though.
Oh, for sure. You know, God uses the hardest times to turn it into something
beautiful. Oh, and I have a great testimony because of it.
Yeah. Awesome. Sweet.
Yep.
How would you say, I don't know if you touched on this at all, but how have you seen God in your life that made you realize, like, yeah, he's real?
Honestly, probably back to what I was just talking about, that experience. I am a very anxious person at heart. When I was 3, I started making my family say, like, best dad ever or best Eve ever to, like, because I was afraid they were going to die. I was, like, 3. Mm. So, like, I've always had a very anxious nature, and that's just something I really let the devil, like, control in me a lot. And so I would always worry about, like, the what ifs. What if our house burned down? What if my family dies? What if I get in a car crash? And it wasn't until one of those what if really happened that I learned that no matter what happens, God's got me.
Yeah.
And God's got it all. And just really putting my trust in Him. So, yeah, that experience. And just people. People is a big one. I'm a huge people person. So the people that God put in your life, you really, if you pay close enough attention, you can look at every single person in your life and find a purpose for why God put them in your life.
For sure. Because He put them in your life for a reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times we don't recognize that until, like, we're later in our life.
Yeah.
And we're like, wow, that person really was saved in my life by God to help me strengthen my faith or to help me get over this specific sin.
Get out of this pit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I would say I would play, I call it the what if game. When I was young, because I would be afraid of just, like, intruders in my house or anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when I was young, I really wouldn't, I would leave lights on when I would watch movies or anything.
Still do that.
Just, you still do that?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but for me specifically, I was just, like, I remember watching a specific movie with my parents, and there is a specific scene that got, like, pretty dark, and it was, like, I think it was, like, 11 or 12, and it was only 9:30, but as a kid, I was like, oh, wow, that's super late, and I thought that's when, like, the bad guys would come out, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember, like, being scared to go to bed because, like, I would just think that they would be, like, in my room or something. But it was just, like, those worries, those, like, what ifs that would really just, like, distract you from God and just thinking about
especially
other
as a
things.
Kid, because you don't really place it as the devil.
Yeah.
You're just scared.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and you realize, like, now that we're growing on our faith and we're more mature, you're like, wow, when I was worried about that for so long, that was the Satan. That was Satan like twisting everything.
And the older I get now, when I worry about things like that, I've kind of learned to just pray. Like, I've made it, sidebar here, but I've made it a habit to pray before every single test. Because I get really bad test anxiety.
I like that.
So I will sit there at my desk and take a minute or two after I have my test to just pray. Do I get weird looks? Yes. Do my teachers try and talk to me while I'm praying sometimes? Yes. But
Hey, Eve, hold on.
Yeah, Lord, literally. No, I swear. That's what happening. But it really just does help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. That's awesome. Have you ever doubted your faith? Sorry, I'm going to ask that into the mic because I didn't say that. Have you ever doubted your faith?
I don't know if I've ever, like, doubted, like, I don't think God is real. But I remember before I really claimed my faith as my own when I was younger, I think I said the whole, like, come to Jesus prayer about, like, 20 times. Mm. Like, every single time our, like, child pastor would call it, I would be like, yeah, I need to get saved again because the first time wasn't good enough or because I didn't really mean it or because I hadn't felt God. So I think it just really, like, I was doubting myself and whether or not I was really saved and whether or not I was really, like, good enough to go to heaven, you know? Yeah.
You were the one when the children's pastor would be like, who here wants to learn about Jesus? You'd go, me, me, for the fifth time. No, I mean, I think, again, I struggled with that as a kid as well. Just like, am I really a Christian? Do I really, am I really going to go to heaven when I die? Because, like, I would read the book of Revelation as a kid.
Me too.
And I would be like, a lake of fire for people that don't love God. And I would be like, am I going to go there?
No, I would be so scared.
And then I would be like, how do I know? And eventually it would just be like, you know, when, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just.
I mean, sometimes that's a good thing, though. The fact that we're scared, because it means we truly believe it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That is very good. Yeah. You know, Satan's putting those doubts in there, because he's like, oh, man, he really does believe. I got to make him doubt his belief.
It's a little bit of a wake-up call.
Yeah.
It's like the story of Job.
For sure. Hey, look at that. Look at that. That's so cool. Love it. What do you struggle with the most being a follower of Christ in this sinful world?
Ooh, this is a hard one. I think a big one for me, especially as I get older, is prioritizing him in my life. So I'm really good about, like, praying and bringing up God in conversation. But when it's just me at home, I struggle to make time. And it shouldn't be me making time. It should be me, like, just fully, like, prioritizing God. There should always be enough time. And I think the older I get, the more it's easy for me to get lost in all the other things happening in my life and only, like, get close to God when things are bad. That's a really bad habit I have.
Yep.
When things are bad, I'll, like, be in scripture every day. I'll be talking to God, like, hours.
Like, get me through it.
Yeah. And then when things are good, I'm just like, I pray, I read my Bible, but it's like a going through the motions kind of thing. So I think that's probably one of my biggest struggles.
Yeah. I think a lot of people in this world present day do that. Like, call themselves a Christian, but, like, are you only a Christian when you're going through a hard time?
Yeah.
Are you a Christian 24/7, 365, 7 days a week? Not 5 days a week. 7 days a week?
Yeah.
Like, are you constantly praying? Are you constantly reading your word? Are you constantly staying in fellowship with other believers?
Oh yeah.
And repenting when you sin? I think that's a
big one.
It's a big one. You know, like, sometimes, like, I don't even realize that I sin.
Yeah.
That I just sinned. Like, when I say something insulting to a family member.
Yeah, or when you cuss, when you slip a cuss word.
Yeah.
It's like, I think that we just minimize them.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially because the world has accepted so many sins like that. It's so hard for us as Christians to separate what's right from what the world says is right.
And we hear, back on, like, cussing, like, we hear so much of that now.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, I'm used to it. Like,
we're immune to it. Yeah. It rolls off our backs and it shouldn't.
Yeah. Like, when people say the word, like I just keep walking. Yeah. You know, when I was young, I would be like, what did you just say? Did you just like,
whoa, did you just say a bad word?
Yeah. But like now, like even in movies, like I'll find myself just watching a movie with a ton of profanity.
Kids movies. Yeah. You go to a kids movie nowadays and they're cussing. And I'm like,
bro, Incredibles 2 had the D word and it said hell in it.
I didn't even clock that as a kid. Yeah. No, it's insane. I think another really big one is like going through the motions. Like I said, I struggled with this a lot last year because I'm someone who's very involved at church and I'm serving on the worship team or in the tech booth or in the kids ministry, or sometimes I'm helping give a sermon or I'm doing announcements. Like I'm always doing something to the point where the line between me doing it for God and me doing it because I'm supposed to be doing it gets blurry. And it's just something that I think that's one of my biggest struggles is really like having an intention behind my faith with every single thing I do.
For sure. Yeah, that's always a good thing to remember and trying not to, you know, slip up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What is a book or chapter of the Bible that you've really just like, you can apply that to your life so easily, and like why?
I think I have to say Esther 4.
Mm.
I have it in my phone case, actually.
There you go.
So wait, hold on. Let me see if I can read the scripture. If you keep quiet at a time like this, something deliverance. I can't read the whole thing, but it says, "Perhaps you were made. Who knows? Perhaps you were made for a time such as this." And
that's good.
I love that scripture because it's really a reminder that like, not to sound cheesy, but everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And I will stress that point until the day I die, because every little bad thing in your life, every little toxic relationship and person and negative experience you have in your life happened for a reason and for a purpose. And God is going to use you in that and glorify himself through that situation. You just got to like look for it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And he'll use like, he'll use the traumatizing event or the horrific event that you just experienced to form it into something good.
Oh, yeah.
I think the biggest thing is when just, you know, 2 weeks ago, Charlie Kirk got shot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and everybody was in mourning, but then I've seen people, like I read the Bible for the first time. I went to church in the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've seen a guy that said, like, I just bought my first ever suit, and I'm going to take it to church. I'm like, bro, that's crazy.
It's amazing. Didn't his wife say something about that?
Yeah.
And his, like, that it's going to be even bigger because of this.
Yeah.
That God used Charlie as a martyr to,
yep.
I don't want to say, like, make his point, but, like, God just used that experience to draw more attention to Charlie's cause.
Yeah, and he used Charlie's death to bring more glory to him, you know?
Amen.
Charlie's cause was not just politics. It was to spread the gospel and his savior, Jesus. And unfortunately, he had to lose his life. But, you know, again, God turned that awful thing into 100,000 people.
Yeah, and it really just nailed that point home.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, rabbit trail.
Yeah.
But what would you say to people who are doubting God and doubting their faith, like people who just maybe lost a loved one or a long-lasting relationship just ended or something even small, like they didn't make the basketball team or something like that. And they're being like, dang, if God was really here, if he really existed, he would just, everything I want would just happen.
That's a hard one for me, actually. I'm going to be repetitive on this and say everything happens for a reason. And been so many situations where someone's told me that and I've been like, shut up, you don't know what I'm going through. Like, I don't even want to hear that right now. Or the, I understand. No, you don't. Like, but here's something to think about. God understands.
Yeah.
And God is going to be there for you no matter what. And sometimes it's easy to blame him and like put that blame on God. Why would you let this happen? Instead, God, why did you let this happen? Like, what purpose is there behind that? And getting into scripture and talking to him about it and just really searching for a point of how this situation can A, draw you closer to God, B, glorify God more. Like, just find a way, find his purpose in it. And I really think that, at least for me, that always helps me not be so bitter.
Yeah.
About it.
No, I like that. You brought up Job a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Job, God took away everything from Job.
Yeah.
And to prove the point that Job was still loyal to him, because, you know, Satan was like, you take away everything he has, he only loves you because you gave him all this stuff.
Yeah.
And God's like, okay, I'll take it all away, and he'll still be loyal to me. And Job was, but, you know, he definitely was like, I mean, there are several chapters in Job, bless you, that he's like, God, why'd you make this happen? Like, are you actually even there? Something like that. And then God goes, like, he's basically like, are you done? Can I speak now?
Yeah.
And God's like, I created the Leviathan. I created this entire world.
Yeah.
Everything obeys me. And I've blessed you with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, and I can bless you even more. Like, God is always, he's in control of everything. Not just the good things.
Yeah.
He's in control of the bad, too.
Yeah, and even bring back to, I'm so repetitive right now.
No, you're
everything
fine.
Happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, thousands of years later, we're sitting here talking about the story of Job and relating it to our everyday lives.
Yeah.
And he went through all these terrible things, and God used that not even to, like, prove it to the devil, but to prove it to everybody who would sit there and read that scripture.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy how, like, we can apply, like, what we read, like, that was made thousands of years ago to, like, present day? I think it's just crazy.
It's so important to read your Bible.
Yeah, for sure.
Because how are you supposed to live the word if you don't know the word?
Yeah. That's good. Dang. Put that on a t-shirt. Put that on a t-shirt. Cool. Okay, so let's move on to the arts. Do you want to talk about the current show that you're in?
I am doing The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. When I knocked over the soundboard again.
Goodness, guys.
Sorry.
Continue.
Miss Clumsy over here. I'm doing Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I am double casted as the role of Lucy, which if you're not familiar with that show, it is a very Christian-centered show.
It's based off a book.
Yeah, by C.S. Lewis,
yep.
Who was a very Christian author. Read the Screwtape Letters.
Yes.
Great book. So that's the show I'm doing right now. I got into theater when I was in sixth grade was the first, like, real show I did.
Was that Frozen?
Mm-hmm.
Were you sixth grade during the day?
Yeah, you were in eighth grade.
I was.
Yeah, crazy to think about. He played my dad.
Yeah, I died.
He did die. But that was the first real show I did. I've always loved singing. I'm a worship leader at my school and at my church. I do voice lessons. I think singing is, like, my main thing that I really just enjoy. If you know me, I'm doing it all the time. Even if I'm not, like, the best at it and I don't make a career out of it, I just love to do it.
Yeah.
And then I act. I'm decently good at that, I guess.
You are good.
To say on that.
You serious?
But I got
a golden ticket.
Alrighty. Okay. We can get that out of here.
What are some of the favorite roles that you've been?
Well, you just said one of them. Charlie Bucket, Willy Wonka, Young Anna, and Frozen was really fun. Kasim and Aladdin. I got 2 flips in that one.
Kasim.
I really loved Amaryllis in The Music Man.
Oh, yeah.
She was fun. Yeah. Chip and Beauty and the Beast. I play a lot of kids, pretty much.
Chip.
Play a lot of small children.
Yes. Do you want to explain the story of Frozen Jr., of that time when you slipped on the stage? Like,
oh, yeah. Okay. So there was a line where I go, freeze my butt, and I, like, hop down on a different platform, and then I go back up again. But when I, like, went to stand up, I tripped over my dress, and then Steven tried to grab my arm, but then I tripped again, and then I was just, like, on the floor, and Steven grabs me and, like, drags me off. It was only,
just
a couple feet, but
just
he just, like, dragged me off stage, and it was, like, there's a video of it to this day, like, one of the funniest moments that's ever happened on stage, and people thought that it was on purpose.
Yeah.
I had the old principal come up to me and be like, that fall looked really real.
That's like, so that's funny.
That's because it was.
It was not on purpose.
Yeah.
No, I think it's so funny how, like, the audience of a show
doesn't
like
know.
Something can go wrong on our side, but like the audience would be like, "Yeah, that was. I love that part." And it was like, "Yeah, that was on accident."
Sometimes
they'll be like, "Wait,
they
really?"
Sometimes they do.
Sometimes
they
do.
I got Clifton backwards.
Oh yeah, that show.
I have a lot of moments on stage where things don't go right, or I fall. I fall a lot.
You do fall a lot. You also break character a lot.
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, I would say Sound of Music, you broke characters.
Okay, Sound of Music was a bad one.
Especially when...
I was not locked in.
The person who played... Oh my gosh. Kurt? Is it Frau Schrader? And then I would look over at my children, because I was Captain Von Trapp, and I would see Eve laughing.
All of your children.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. And I would be... I was usually standing right next to you, trying so hard not to laugh, and I laughed every time. It was the one. It was the one line I could not laugh at.
I guess that was how they wanted him to deliver the line.
It wasn't. He just did it. It was funny, though.
It was funny. Audience laughed, so that's all that matters.
True that.
Yeah.
Laughing on and off stage.
Yeah. When did you realize that you enjoy doing theater and worship? Like, what kind of... We're like, yeah, I kind of like this. I want to do this more.
Always been a bit of a drama queen, so like Child Eve, very like, what's the word, eccentric,
yeah,
I guess.
Nice.
You could say, yep, big word alert.
Yep.
So getting into theater, I loved like being on stage and just like doing something and doing it well and having people be like, you did that well, because I was never good at sports. I do not play a sport. Don't ask me to. It will not end well for either of us. But so finding something that I not only enjoyed, but that other people told me that I was good at was, like, really fulfilling for me.
Yeah.
And I was doing it in an environment with people that I looked up to, including you, who are also doing the same thing. And it was just, I don't know, it was a really good fit for where I was in life.
I would say, I'm not trying to be biased or anything, but I would say, like, theater, like, you can really... You can learn a lot of things from like the older people who have like maybe higher roles, and you can like learn how they act, like different techniques that they use and stuff.
Yeah.
But also like bless you.
Thank you.
The theater organization at school, bless you. I'm just kidding. That wasn't a sneeze. The theater organization at school, I mean, it was just good to form just relationships with younger kids, like you specifically, and just doing show after show with you and just other people, you know, that bond starts to form like outside of theater as well.
And building those relationships, like it brought us here today.
Yeah.
Just like so many people I've known for so long. I mean, my mentor, I've brought her up a couple times. I kind of got close to her through that, and she's changed my life and probably built my foundation with my relationship with God. And, like, you're my big brother. And I have so many people, like that in my life that I'm so grateful that I was, like, brought to through that program.
You're talking about my opposite, right? Your mentor? My opposite?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm just making sure.
Yeah, yeah.
No
name dropping.
No, I won't. She might be on the show future.
She will
Stay tuned, guys.
Yeah.
What are some challenges you faced while... doing worship or theater?
Ooh, big one. Easy answer, pride. Always my easy
answer. Good answer.
I especially like little 7th grade Eve leading worship at our church for the first time. Or I guess I was in 7th grade. I was in like 8th or 9th. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, ooh, I want to sound good. I hope I look good. What outfit am I going to wear? Does my makeup look fine? Does my hair look fine? Does my voice sound good?
Yeah.
And I sat there and I thought through all of that, and I sang my song, and I never once sat there and I said, did I glorify God?
Yeah.
Like, I think the biggest thing, especially in, not to like say our school worship team is bad, but we're getting a lot better at it. But when it was starting, it was a lot of like sounding good and not a lot of like worshiping the Lord. Well.
Yeah. worship team at school really had to,
I'd say, adjust their
perspective.
Oh, yeah. And I don't always think it was the leadership.
No.
It was just the mindset of a lot of people on that stage. It still is, where I rarely, as a student, looked up on that stage and saw people truly worshiping the Lord.
Yeah.
I just saw people who were good singers
that
were handed microphones.
Yeah.
So pride is a big one, making about God and not about me, because God gave me that gift. He gave me that talent. He put me in that room at that time for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I am using my gift to glorify him, not to glorify myself.
Yeah. Would you say pride has gotten really hard for you when you've gotten like bigger roles during shows and stuff?
I think a lot more so than worship, than with shows. The shows, my pride does not come into play as much.
That's good.
Because with shows, I feel like you're working as a team.
Yeah.
You have so many people on that stage with you. With shows, it's more like, oh, I'm having fun and forgetting to bring God into it.
Yeah.
With worship, I think it's just so much more of a pride aspect for me personally, because it's more like, do I sound good? In theater, it's like, am I doing good? But it's more of like with theater, it's more comfortable, I guess,
because
I've done it like so many times and we just rehearse it so many times.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I would say when it comes to worship, I think a lot of people can, like the people that are on stage singing with the microphones and the guitar and the drums and everything, yeah, they're up there, but they're singing with the congregation of people that are in the pews or that are in the chairs or the balcony. Yeah. Like you're all one body. You know, it's not just you have the people standing up in the chairs, and then you have the people on the stage, and then you have the pastor, and then you have God. No, it's literally everybody. It's everybody.
Can I take a sidebar real fast?
Please.
I was talking to my best friend about this yesterday, and she was talking to her trainer. This is like so random, but we were talking about how atheists don't appreciate music because music was created to glorify God. And so people who don't believe in God can't have as great of an appreciation for music or worship, and that Christians who have worship have just such a like full understanding of why music is so powerful.
Yeah.
And why our worship is meaningful. You're not just singing a song. You are glorifying your creator.
Yeah.
Sorry, sidebar there.
No. I think that's really good. I have found it hard to, you know, worship the Lord during songs that I don't like singing. And my parents, because I had a hard time when I was on the worship team last year. You know, a lot of the songs that we sung, you know,
not the best.
We're not my favorite.
Yeah.
But at the same time, my dad was like, you know, again, you're not there to impress people.
Yeah.
You're there to worship God. So focus on the words of the song.
Preach it, Mr. Williams.
Not the notes, not the drum beat. Focus on the words, on what it's saying.
Yeah.
And then if the words aren't glorifying God, or they're drawing attention to the person singing it, then that's another problem. But, you know, like, the words of a Christian song should proclaim the beauty of God.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I think the lyrics should be more powerful than whether or not we like the notes of the melody.
Yeah, facts. Know? Facts.
Yeah. And I, as someone who, like, I have such a heart for worship and just for music in general, God's just implanted that in me my whole life. And I connect best with God through worship.
Yeah.
Like, worship is where I'm falling to my knees talking to God. And when I'm reading scripture, I find myself like noticing that the lyrics match up and writing down songs in my Bible next to the verses all the time, because I really don't think about what an impact like worship music has on my memorization and keeping scripture close to my heart, but it really does.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, God created like everything to worship him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just us. So, like, when it says, I forget, I think it's a psalm, but it's like, the stars proclaim his handiwork. Like, everything, like, obeys God. Everything that he created. It reminds me of when Jesus calms the storm, he says, like, so like, be still, and then, like, right away, it was just, like, quiet. Like, everything obeys him, like, all the creatures, all the landscape and everything.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, we need to, and yeah, we have free will. Like, I mean, the trees don't have free will.
Yeah.
They can't just, like, get up and walk somewhere or anything.
Makes me think of So Will I, the
song. Oh, yeah, that's good.
Go listen to it, guys.
Like, if the stars remain to worship, so will I. Yeah, that's a good song.
Great song.
But
yeah, see, this is what I mean.
What?
Like, the scripture relevance with songs.
Yeah. Oh, I love when songs do that.
Yeah, me too.
There's a song. I forget who sings it, but it's based off the psalm that says, I lift my eyes up to the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth.
I'm trying to think of the melody.
Sorry, guys. I had to take a drink of water. But, yeah, I just love when artists bring scripture into their songs.
Yeah.
Even if it's, like, a simple thing.
It makes it so much more impactful.
For sure. Especially because, like, when you know the scripture, too, you're like, oh, wait.
That's in the song. That's familiar.
That's in the song.
Where did that come from?
Yeah. Do you want to share? Do you want to share your story of Willy Wonka? How you got clipped in backwards?
Sure. This is a fun one, guys. So we do flying in some of our productions. So we're like wearing a harness. We're clipped in, like pretty much shot in the air, pretty high, and we're doing flips and stuff. And there was this one quick change we had where my counterpart, like my double cast, is clipping me in, and I clipped her in, and she didn't do this on purpose, but I got clipped in backwards so that I was facing the back wall instead of the audience, and I just had to, like, rock with it and make the best out of it and try not to laugh, even though I did multiple times, and it was something.
The audience was staring at her back when she was speaking.
Pretty much the whole time. I was, like, looking over my shoulder. I was, like, turning around and looking over my shoulder to deliver half of my lines. And your double cast, which was my Grandpa Joe, because I was Charlie that night, was, like, looking at me. And we're all the way up on this platform. And the platform gets, like, torn away.
Oh,
and we're flying.
That's right.
And he's looking at me and he's like, We have time. I'll fix it.
Yeah.
But if he had, like, let go of one of those cables and it shot into the ceiling, then when that platform gets torn away,
that would have been not good.
I'm cooked. Like, I'm just gonna fall 15 feet, I guess.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, it's fine. No, it's fine.
We're flying. Eve's on the floor.
Yeah, and I'm just like on the floor, like, twitching.
No, I'm gonna be honest, that show was like,
chaotic.
Is good, but
Well, yeah. It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad.
It was.
I think
it was interesting.
My hips would say otherwise from the harness, but
ouch! I have pictures, like bruises.
Oh yeah,
hurt so bad. It was a fun show. I think the cast of that show was really fun to interact with.
Yes,
stage.
I just think we paid too much attention to the flight and not enough to the sets
and the acting.
And
I don't think we spent. That's a big thing we don't do enough in our theater productions. Are like spend time talking to the actors about the context of the scenes and their emotions. We just send them out there as long as they've memorized their lines.
Characterization is key, guys.
Amen.
You have to learn how to walk in your character, to talk in your character.
What your character's feeling.
What your character's feeling.
Why they're doing and why they're saying what they're saying.
That was the first time. I think that was the first time I actually did in-depth characterization for Annie Get Your Gun. Because at school, we really didn't do that.
So when
my director for Annie Get Your Gun was like, took us into the one of the studios and, you know, worked on characterization. I was like, I've never actually done this before.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
My mom.
But it was helpful.
My mom did a lot of like reading stuff when she was in high school.
Yeah.
So she's gone through that for me when I'm prepping for an audition. She's like, give me three words that would describe this character.
That's good.
Why is this character saying what they're saying?
Yeah.
What are this character's emotions in this scene? Why are they feeling this way? And it just always really helps me get into the mindset.
Yeah. No, that's good. Okay, so weaving the Christian faith and the arts together, how can us as Christians weave our faith into what we enjoy? I put example here in a theater, but you can apply it to just any aspect of your life.
Okay. I'll go theater and worship, probably. We are given these gifts for a reason. And I would say one of my gifts is not that I'm a good singer, but that I love singing. I love singing with my whole heart and soul, doing it all the time. Like, you won't catch me not singing a song or
That's
listening
true.
To music.
That's true. She's always singing, guys.
Yes, my bad. But that is a gift from God. That is something that he installed in me and created me with. So I'm going to go out there and use that to glorify him, whether that's on stage in a show or whether that's leading worship. And I think just really keeping that in the back of my mind, remembering that I'm here because God gave me the ability to be here.
Yeah.
And I'm doing this for God, to just bring it all back to the fact that he gave it to me in the first place. So really just like using your gifts and talents, whether that's you're good at math and you like numbers and you go and you be an engineer or whatever and you just preach the gospel through that, or you're a teacher.
Yeah.
And you're great with kids and you go and you show the love of God to these children.
Yeah.
Like whatever your talent is, just remembering who gave you that talent and using it to glorify your creator.
For sure. Yeah. You know, God gives us like whatever we want to go into. He gives us the opportunity to spread his name.
Yeah.
You know, he never is like, nah, you can don't do it here. He's always like, no, make my name known through every opportunity you have, you know, fear, being fearful of that, like you're not glorifying God with that. You're going into the lies and doubts of the devil by being like, oh, what if they don't like me? What if they exclude me or something like that? Or say in a show or you're in a movie or something, you know, you say like, no, I'm not going to kiss another woman because she's not my wife. Mm. And they're like, okay, you're going to get fired then, you know?
Such a blunt way to put it, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he gives you the opportunity to be a Christian leader.
Yeah.
Be a Christian man or woman and everything. Yeah,
for
sure.
That really just like, it makes you stand out. It makes other people look at you and go, wow.
Yeah.
Like, that's bold. That's brave.
Yeah.
Like, I want to have that faith that they have.
Yeah. We're swimming up against the stream, as I like to think of it.
Preach it. Put that on a shirt.
Heck yeah, man.
A way that I love to, like, keep that in mind is before shows, I love to get on my knees and just pray and be like, God, help me to go out on that stage tonight and glorify you and give you the glory.
Yeah.
And whether I crush it or I crush it, either way, let it be for you and let you take whatever you can out of what I just did on that stage for you tonight, God.
Yeah, for sure. That's good.
Yep.
Yeah, especially when the nerves are getting to you. And
it's about 6 or 7 o'clock at night and you're just nervous. And
guys, she did the hand gestures too when she said that. See it out of the corner of my eye. Gosh.
I'm sorry. I'm a 6-7-aholic.
Do you find it hard keeping your faith your main priorities in your life?
It depends on how you define priority.
Like, have you found yourself, instead of reading your Bible, staying on your phone?
Oh, yeah. 100%. I talked about this earlier. It's, like, not making time.
Yeah.
It's like, I will go home and I'll plan out my night and I'll be like, okay, I'm going to do my homework. And then I'm going to go skateboard and catch the sunset. And I'm going to shower and I'm going to read my Bible.
Forgot you skateboard.
Not well. And I always like put reading my Bible last on the list. And I'm like, I'm going to do it before I go to bed. And by the time I get to bed, I've spent 2 hours scrolling on my phone.
Yep.
Did not get my homework done. Got a couple good photos of the sunset. Quick shower. And I'm exhausted and it's at midnight.
Yeah.
And I don't read my Bible. It's.
Yeah.
Making time for it and prioritizing it is just something I struggle with. And then other nights, it's like I sit there for an hour and a half and I'm just in my word and I'm praying and I'm on my knees and I have a whole worship shower. Great set list. Like, planned it out, you know.
Yes.
It's just really like I have to put it first.
Yeah.
And it's something I struggle to do so often.
Yeah. I don't, honestly, I think just the older we get, the more busy we're going to be. Which means, you know, being busy is just like is a good thing, but it can also be a tool that the devil uses you.
Oh yeah.
Uses to get you away from your faith.
You're never too busy for God.
Exactly.
You just make excuses.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why
he wasn't too busy to wake you up. You shouldn't be too busy to read your Bible.
Say that again.
He wasn't too busy to wake you up, so you shouldn't be too busy to read your Bible.
Dang. Eve Weeks is just spitting like one-liners or something.
Can I say my other one-liner?
Ready? Yes.
You may be the only people. Wait, you may be the only Jesus some people ever see.
There you go.
It's my favorite line.
That's good. I like that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the in your Bible, you can write, "This book will keep me from sin, or sin will keep me from this book."
That's a good one.
I have a lot of good ones.
Guys, we're starting a merch line
yeah.
with quotes that Eve says.
I would buy it all. Buy my own merch.
Yeah, buy your own merch.
Sold out.
Hey, who said that quote? I did. You're wearing your shirt? Yeah.
Of course, I would.
That's awesome. How can Christians stay strong in their faith while being with non-believers?
Good. So the school that me and Steven went to, Steven and I, sorry.
There you go.
Bad grammar.
Yeah.
Bad grammar. I'm a junior, guys. Steven and I went to, I still go to, is very, it's not as tiny as it used to be, but it is a Christian school, meaning that most people at that school claim to be Christian. Whether or not they are Christian.
They know who God is.
They know who God is. Whether or not they live that out is a whole nother story. But it is really hard to try and share your faith with someone who already claims to know it all. And so, from firsthand experience, and as someone who I feel as if I'm very called to evangelize with the gifts that I've been given, it's really hard to go up to someone you know is not living out their calling and being like, "Hey, I don't think that you are using the gifts that God gave you to glorify him, and I don't think the lifestyle that you're leading is very in alignment of what you claim to believe."
And a lot of people let that insult them.
Yeah, a lot of people take offense to it. I mean,
yeah.
I don't fully blame them. If someone came up to me, I don't think I would take that well. I think it would leave an effect on me, but I don't know how well it would, like, you know? So, that's a hard one. I have a friend, actually, from my work who's Buddhist. And he's been one of the first people I've really gotten to share my faith with because he didn't know who Jesus was.
Yeah.
So I get to have these conversations with him and be like, "I believe this because of this. I have seen God move in my lives in these ways. I believe that God has already saved me." Like, I've gotten to fully share the gospel with him. And it has been such a cool experience because I don't get that experience to be around non-believers. So when I am, there are a few non-believers I am around, but when I am, my biggest thing is just be a good person, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Be loving, be kind, be gentle, be patient, be caring. Give them the respect that you want them to give you. Because if you're out here and you're like, "I'm a Christian and I have a Bible verse in my Instagram bio," and you are smoking and doing all these things and cussing people out and just not being a good, genuine person, you may be the only Jesus some people see. I'm going to say it again. That person isn't going to get a good idea or concept of what a Christian is and what they believe.
Yep.
So we want to go out there as Christians and fully give our lives to God and show other people who God is through us, because that's what we're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not doing that, what are we doing, guys?
Yeah. No, that's true. I think...
Sorry, I, like, went on a rampage.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I don't know if you remember this chapel. Our old spiritual life director had... It was, like, one of his first ones. Fly high. He's alive. He's alive. Don't worry. Don't worry.
He's still with us.
But he used the four chairs analogy.
Yeah.
It was, like, chair one is, like... Nobody, like, this person is just has no idea who God is. It's like alcoholic, just addicted to a lot of bad stuff. And then you have chair two, like, they know who God is, but they're not following them and they want to learn more, but they don't know much. Chair three is a Christian who's a believer of Christ, reads the Bible, but still struggles with things and has a hard time following the Lord. And then you have chair four, who is like a devoted Christian, always happy, lives out the Great Commission.
Yeah.
Just a hardcore follower of Christ. And he brings in, like, you know, a person from chair one sees a person of chair four, like, not living out the Christian life. Like, say, somebody claims to be a Christian, and yet you see him at a party smoking or drinking alcohol or just doing bad things, swearing.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, what's the difference between him and me?
Yeah.
You know, like, what's so special about him that I don't have, and yet he's doing the exact same thing I do every Saturday, you know?
Yeah.
I think
you don't want to misrepresent the gospel.
Exactly. And a lot of times we don't realize it, but there are always people looking at us.
Oh, yeah.
And watching us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Especially as I'm an upperclassman now. That's scary. But, like, the whole, like, you have people looking up to you thing, I think that just, like, rolls over our heads way too often. But you really do. Like, I'm the oldest child. And I have a little brother who's looking up to me. And when he hears me cuss, or when he hears me be disrespectful to my parents, or say something not good to my friend who I'm hanging out with, he notices those things.
Yeah.
Other people notice those things, guys. Like, it's not just you're in your own little world. Everything you do has to have a meaning.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to read this from Romans 12. This is marks of a true Christian. Let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil, cling to what is good, love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Take the lead in honoring one another. Do not lack diligence in zeal. Be fervent in the spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Give careful thought to what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone.
Preach it.
Yay.
Yay.
That's like a really good, a Christian should look like.
Yeah. Can I read a verse too, actually?
Yeah, please go ahead.
I have one
of
mine. So I had this pastor who used to always, when he was preaching, he would say, we're not just hearers of we're hearing the word. Like, you're constantly, and the verse, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word, came to mind. And it's James 1:22-25. I'll only read some of it, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone who is a hearer of the world and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and then goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer, who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So we are called to not just go to church and hear a sermon.
Yep.
We're called to do it. We're called to not just open our Bible and read a verse. We're called to meditate on that and apply it to our lives and go do it and share the love of God. Pretty much, like, he loved first, so we should, what's that? We love because he loved us first.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many, we all have testimonies.
Yeah.
We have so many great experiences with God in our life. Why would we not want to share that?
For sure. Bible's so good, bro.
Amen.
Bible is heat.
Go read your Bible, guys.
Yes, please read Bible.
Read Bible.
So, what's next for you? Any big things coming up?
I don't know. I mean, the show.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, yeah, I honestly don't know. It's a great question. It's one I'm asking too.
Sorry, go ahead.
College decisions
coming
up. I'm starting to think about that. Yep. I'm starting to think about what I really want to do with my life, career-wise.
Do you know?
I don't. Okay.
That's fair.
I love working with kids.
Yep.
I think something with child life would be cool. I love peopling. So communications.
Peopling.
Peopling. That's my word. I love talking to people, interacting with people, being in their lives, making their lives better. So something communications, business.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm going to find something. But in the back of my mind, the idea of being like a stay-at-home mom and a part-time worship leader, that's the dream life right there, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, we will see what happens. God's going to take me where he needs me.
For sure.
Got to follow.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So I'll let God take the wheel on that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, you said something that was really good. And a lot of people, you know, say like, oh, God has me where he wants me right now, or like God has a bright future for me, but then they're not doing anything about it. It's like, yeah, that's true, but that doesn't mean you get to sit on your butt and just do nothing.
You gotta go where he calls you, man.
Yeah. Like, if you want to, you know, if you want to become a doctor or something, you can't be a doctor by just sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
Eating M&M's, bro. Yeah, that was the first candy that popped in my mind. Like, you have to...
Someone's hungry.
You have to... Yeah. You have to go to med school.
Yeah.
You gotta... What is it? Being a... Is that a master's? You have to get a master's degree or something?
Know.
I have no
idea. I'm not gonna be a doctor, guys.
Can I have tell? No but, yeah, you know, yes, God is gonna take you where he wants you, but you have to... You know, it's a...
Two-way street.
Yeah, two-way street. There you go. It's not a one-way thing. You know, you guys got to both. You got to do your part.
Mm-hmm.
And God will always do his.
Isn't there a verse, if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you? Isn't that a...
It is a verse.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I want to say James. Or Ephesians. I think it's Ephesians.
She said Bible. James or Ephesians.
James or Ephesians. We'll see if Eve is right.
What is it? Draw near to him and he'll draw near to you.
He'll draw near to you. Yeah. I love that verse. But yeah, it really is a two-way street. You can't just... say that, oh, God's got me, and not do anything about it.
James 4:8.
Yes!
Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you.
Look at me knowing my scripture.
Dang. There you go. Yeah, so you have this show coming up in November.
Yep. See how God uses me. It's definitely a new environment, so.
Yeah.
We'll see how.
Yeah, you don't have all of us, bro.
I don't. It was a struggle. Honestly, getting, like, hyping myself up to do the show.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to do it, but it's weird to be pushed this far out of my comfort zone with something that's supposed to be so comfortable.
Yeah. There's not that many seniors doing theater anymore. Yeah.
Two or three.
Yeah. Six or seven. That just means...
I'm so sorry.
That means you juniors just going to have to step up.
There's three of us, too.
Not mine. Well, you can step up in your own way.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Sweet. Do you want to pray us out?
I would love to pray us out.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Dear God, I thank you so much for this time that we got to spend together today, Lord. I thank you for anybody who's listening and just this conversation that we got to have, Lord. I pray that we can, and anybody hearing this, can just take this and go out and apply it to their lives, Lord, and that you'll just work through us and in us to do your will. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the podcast. Please give it a follow. I'll do my best to post weekly. I don't know. People are busy, man. I'm busy. But yeah, we will continue to make episodes with different people. Hopefully we'll bring her mentor on when she's back in town.
Hey, and I'll come back, guys.
Hopefully I'll get our tech media dude who was going to do it, but then he got sick. So hopefully we'll bring him back.
Yep.
For sure.
Yay.
But anyway, stay strong in your faith, guys. I will see you at the next episode. Bye.